chatterbox, the one with pretty auburn locks. Whom do you see? It's little orphan Annie. She and Sandy make a pair. They never seem to have a care. You little sheep, this little orphan Annie. Bright eyes, cheeks of rosy glow, there's a store of healthiness handy. My size always on the go, if you want to know, I'm Sis Sandy. Always wears a sunny smile, now wouldn't it be worth the while if you could be like little orphan Annie.
It's 5:45 now, and time to hear Orphan Annie's newest adventure on the Mississippi River. And here's something I've talked about with Orphan Annie's old friends before. But if you're a new radio friend of hers, it's something you ought to know about, too. Have you ever noticed how most of the foods that everybody says are good for you usually don't taste so very good? And yet if you don't eat them, your mother scolds you? But that's where you're going to get a real surprise when you drink Ovaltine. Yes, sir. It's one of the few foods I know of that's good for you and tastes simply great, too. Believe me, nobody will ever have to scold you to make you drink anything as good as Ovaltine. Why, it's even better than having a chocolate soda right in your own home when you want it. But don't forget, that's only half of the story about Ovaltine. Besides tasting good, it's mighty good for you, too. Every cupful you drink gives you important nourishment. Lots of minerals and vitamins and things to help make you healthy and husky and strong and keep you going with good old Orphan Annie pep. So, if you haven't tried Ovaltine, ask your mother to get you a can at her drug or grocery store right away. And then you'll be getting something that's not only good for you, but tastes good, too. And that's a mighty hard combination to beat, isn't it? Just you try it and see. And now, let's see what's happening to Annie. Last time, remember, the new bridge with its rotten cement collapsed in the river flood just as Flint, Wright, and Red Hogan, its builders, were trying to cross it. They were carried away in the flood and haven't been seen since. But here it is the next day now. The warm May sun is shining on the Silo farm, and Mr. Silo, Annie, and Joe are sitting on the back porch. Here's Joe talking.
Shucks, that sun sure feels good, doesn't it?
You bet it does, Joe.
Yep, seems mighty good to have the old rocking chair out on the porch again, be able to sit in it for a while without half freezing to death. Guess that there old Rhode Island Red likes the sun as much as we do.
Shucks, I don't blame him. After all that rain we had for so many days, this blue sky is enough to make anybody grow. Look at him. He's got his old head pointed right up toward the sun.
Feel almost good enough to throw myself. I hate any kind of unfinished business, whether it's a field half plowed or a crop of hay half cut. And now that all this mix-up of the bank robbery and the bridge is finished, I feel a whole lot better.
Do you suppose it is finished, Mr. Silo?
The way that bridge went down, Annie, collapsing like that house that was built on the sands and the Bible, well, it looks pretty finished to me.
I know, but do you think that Mr. Flanson...
Well, we saw him fall with the bridge. They were right in the middle of it when that rotten cement crumbled away, and the river was mighty deep and swift with all that flood. Looks to me like they just got natural justice. Besides the robbers, we know now that all three of them were cheating on that cement. And in the end, it was their own cheating that finished them.
They might have swum ashore, though, Mr. Silo, in the dark.
Yeah, they might, Joe.
They landed farther down on the bank. It was so dark, we wouldn't have been able to see them.
Well, they'd have to be mighty good swimmers to do it in that current. And even if they did, you see, they can't get away. Not really away ever. They broke the law, and you can't break laws and get away with it. Nobody ever did, and nobody ever will. If the police don't get you, your own conscience will. And I have heard say there's no bigger punisher than a man's own conscience. And if a man ain't got much conscience, as few nowadays don't seem to have, well, then there's a higher law than those man made. And sometime or other, this higher law, which is God's law, has to be answered to. So you see, there's just no escape ever for those that do wrong. Here I am, gabbing away like an old parrot. Just the same, well, what I told you, too.
Gosh, I'm glad I haven't done anything wrong.
Don't, Joe, ever. Then you'll never come to grief. and you know what's right or wrong in your own heart and your own soul. A little voice inside us all sometimes says, careful, think a minute, is what you're doing exactly right? And when you hear that voice, just you stop and think.
I see what you mean, Mr. Silo.
Sure you do, Annie. You're a good girl, and you always will be because you've got kindness in your heart. That's the thing. Anybody who has real feeling of kindness and a thought to the people around him just ain't going to do any wrong.
Shucks, I was just thinking of Luke Poole. He's the one who's going to lose on this bridge because he bought up all the stock.
Yeah, Joe, I've been feeling a little sorry for Luke.
Keeping measures. I guess he'll just about lose everything now because he said he put every penny he had in that bridge.
Yeah, but there's lots worse things than being without money, Annie. And one of them maybe is having too much money.
What do you mean, Mr. Silo?
Well, take Luke Poole. He's been what most folks call a successful man. He made a lot of money from his store. Maybe a mite too much money. I was talking to a fellow who knew Luke when he was young. Said Luke used to be just like all of us then. Pleasant a fellow you'd want to meet. But the money he made went to his head. He got greedy. He wanted more money. Maybe now he'll get back his self-respect and be rich in other things besides money. Yep. I reckon this thing, hard as it may seem to fool at the time, will really do him a lot of good in the long run. And that's the way you have to look at this life, the long run of it. For it's a long life, and a good one if you make it good. And here I am, philosophizing again. I swore, maybe I better get me a job as a preacher instead of working a farm.
Here comes Mrs. Silo.
Well, I've been out in the garden, the looks of him.
Look at those pretty flowers she has.
Yes, look at them, Annie. Aren't they beautiful? I never saw such a spring for flowers, Paul.
Must be handsome.
Look, Annie. Daffodils and tulips and hyacinths.
They're swell, Mrs. Silo.
I always like flowers in the house. They make it homey somehow. Put color in it and life. I guess all us women like flowers.
Ma, if I were a millionaire, which I ain't.
Are you telling me, Paul?
Well, if I were, which I still ain't, I'd send you a big bouquet of flowers all winter long.
Oh, Paul, go on with you. Spring weather's going to your head.
Not at all, Ma, not at all.
Paul, you're just getting too nice for words today.
Well, maybe you're right. Must be the summer coming on, Ma, and this sunshine. And them birds are nesting up there in the corner of the barn.
Mercy me. There are birds up there.
They're robins, Mrs. Silo.
Good. There's no bird to me quite as pretty as a robin. I love to see the young ones with their speckled vests around hunting for worms. And remind me, Byron, to shut up the cat when those young ones hatch out.
Don't believe I'll have to remind you of it, Ma. Reckon you remember it yourself when the time comes, land sakes. Last spring, when you had nest here, all you did with yourself was to watch them young birds. If I hadn't known better, I'd have thought you were the mother instead of the robin.
Well, birds are birds, and cats are cats. But I just can't bear to see anything hurt needlessly. Those little robin eggs are so pretty and blue. Remember, Paul, that dress I had way back in, well, I just can't remember the date. But it was a robin's egg blue, and it had little ruffles and pleats in the skirt, and...
Remember it, Ma? Yes. I've always carried a picture around in my mind of how pretty you were in that dress.
There you go again. Land sakes, Byron. Looks to me as if you were having an attack of spring fever.
Oh, Ma.
Well, Paul, I don't know what to expect with all your flattery.
Say, there's a car turning in the driveway.
Here it is.
It's Walter Bloom. You can't miss that there old dark of his.
Hello, Walter.
Hello,
Paul. Come on up here on the porch, Walter, and join us.
I'm coming, Mr. Silo. Yeah, you look like a real summer's day, Miss Silo, holding all them flowers.
Like them, Walter?
They're right pretty. Always like flowers. Gonna raise some myself this year, I am. Some of those nasty urchins, or whatever you call them.
Nasturtiums, Walter.
Yeah, that's it. Plant them along the back fence, I did, so they'll grow up along the wire.
Good for you, Walter. It's a good sign when folks like flowers. Well, set yourself down.
Don't know if I've got time to set myself down, Mr. Stallo. I come out to tell
you... Tell us some news about Mr. Flint.
Well, ain't no news about him, I guess. I was just talking to the marshal. He's been searching along the river, but he ain't found no trace of it.
Just some grasshoppers. Then maybe he got away.
I don't reckon he did, Annie. Leastwise, not from the looks of that bridge. The whole town's been down there today to see the ruins. It sure did fall, just like that town in the Bible. What's his name?
Babylon.
Yeah, that's it. Babylon fell before the Persians, just like Mr. Flint's bridge fell before this year flood. Oh, but say, I have got some news for you.
Well, what, Walter?
Well, there's going to be another bridge built right on that same spot. Yes, sir? There's a new company taking it over, a good company this time, and they're going to build another bridge so we'll still have a good cutoff in saving distance to Sunfield.
That's fine. New bridge, a new one would go there if the right men got out behind it.
Well, I guess they're the right men this time, because from all I hear, it ain't going to be no stock selling business. They're building this year new bridge with their own money.
Well, glad you brought me this news, Walter. Makes me feel better about the whole thing. When progress comes, I like to see it go ahead and get places, not just stop where somebody left us off.
Oh, say, that reminds me. I didn't come just to give you this news, Mr. Salo.
Huh?
No, sir. And if I hadn't thought of it, I might have just gone clean off without even leaving it.
Leaving what, Walter?
The telegram.
Telegram?
Sure.
Telegram for who?
For Mr. Salo. My goodness, and here I was forgetting it all the time. The operator at the station asked me special, as long as I was going this way, if I wouldn't deliver it. And I said, sure.
Walter, if you've got a telegram for me, give it to me.
Why, of course. Here it is, Mr. Salo. Sorry I was forgetting it.
Little land sakes, it's been so long since I had a telegram on these here yellow envelopes. I'm scared to open it.
For mercy's sake, Pa, don't sit there holding it in your hands. You're keeping us all in suspense. Get it open.
All right, Ma, all right. There. Here, Annie, you read it. I ain't got my glasses anyway.
All right. Leaping Lizard.
What, Annie?
Yeah. What does it say?
It says, if you ever love me, Byron, come to me at Fair Haven on the Mississippi River at once. And in deep trouble.
Go on, Annie. Go on.
That's all, Mr. Sardo. That's all it says.
Oh. Well, land sakes, it must be signed. Who signed it, Annie?
It's signed Janet. Jed Salo.
Jed, my brother. My brother, whom I haven't seen in 20 years.
Well, Mr. Salo's brother, whom he hasn't seen in 20 years. Is this mysterious telegram going to make a difference in the lives of all our friends? Everything was so peaceful there on the farm today. But now with this telegram coming, I have a feeling that things are going to happen, and happen fast. And you can certainly see there are exciting days ahead for Annie, and you can bet you'll have a grand time through it all. Yes, sir, when there's anything exciting to be done, there's just nothing that can stop our Annie. And I guess that's why so many boys and girls want to know how they can be like her, husky and healthy and ready for whatever happens. Well, I'll tell you. One of the best ways to start is to drink Ovaltine every single day, with meals and in between meals, too. All those important minerals and vitamins and things contained in every cupful of Ovaltine may help to give you real Orphan Annie pep. Then, you feel so good and have so much extra energy, you can do most everything you have to do, just as Annie can. And so, you'd better ask your mother to get you a can of Ovaltine at the drug or grocery store right away, so you can start right in with a big, delicious cupful for dinner this very night. And be sure and be here tomorrow, right on time, to see if that strange telegram is going to lead Annie and Joe into a great new adventure. Till tomorrow at Orphan Annie time then, goodbye.